Well, just over 2,000 years ago in A.D. 61, from a prison cell, a dark, cold prison cell, the Apostle Paul sat down and he, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote a letter. And this letter that Paul wrote was to a group of Christians living in a city called Ephesus. We have that letter contained for us in God's Word called the Book of Ephesians. And I want to read you just a small excerpt out of that letter, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Look what the Bible says. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There are a few things that we should remember about the city of Ephesus as we read these verses this morning, this excerpt out of this letter. The few things that we should remember are, first of all, that Ephesus was a major city. It was a city of over 600,000 people. It was a port city. Because it was a port city, there were a lot of visitors constantly in the city of Ephesus. The second thing we should know is that it was a city of great affluence. It was a hub for commercial trade because its location there on the Mediterranean Sea, so it had a lot of riches. Thirdly, it was a city where everything was permissible. It was a city that had a great permissive attitude. You could even say about Ephesus, what happened in Ephesus stayed in Ephesus. The fourth thing you should know about Ephesus is it was a very pagan city. It was filled with sexual immorality. So think about that. It was a large city full of guests all of the time that had a lot of affluence. It was a city that was very permissive in its attitude, and it was a city that was filled with sexual immorality. Don't tell me that the Bible is not relevant for our culture today. We looked at those verses 4 months ago when we began together a study through the Old Testament book of Proverbs, because we recognized that living in Las Vegas, it was imperative that we seek everlasting wisdom for everyday life. Charles Stanley wrote about that group of believers in Ephesus. He said, as you can imagine, it was difficult for the believers in Ephesus to maintain high standards. Their hostile environment made it that much more important for them to begin asking the question, what is the wise thing to do? And at Hope, we recognize that we live in a city that sometimes is a city of great challenge for the believer to maintain the biblical values and standards and to walk wisely. And so we set out together on a journey to discover everlasting wisdom for everyday life, to go through the book of Proverbs and pull from it truths that would practically apply to our everyday life. And some we asked the question when we began, why the book of Proverbs? Why is that where we're going? Well, we said because Proverbs provides wisdom for every area of life at every stage of life. As you read through the book of Proverbs, and as we've noticed over the last 4 months together, man, the book of Proverbs speaks wisdom to every area of life. I mean, we've looked at so many different areas just as a church family in our weekend services. Things like the tongue, how we speak. We've looked at issues of pride. We've looked at the workplace. We've looked at issues of purity. We've looked at issues of making wise decisions. And in all the topics that we've explored together, we've simply scratched the surface of what is in the book of Proverbs. And I hope over the last several months together, as you've been reading on your own through the book of Proverbs, you've grown to understand in an even greater way that Proverbs speaks wisdom to every area of life, but also to every stage of life. It doesn't matter whether you're brand new as a Christian or you've been saved for 40 years, the book of Proverbs is relevant to speak wisdom into our lives today. So we defined wisdom like this. We said wisdom was the ability to see life from what? God's perspective. It's the ability to see life from God's perspective. To rise up above the situation and to see the decisions and the choices and the actions of my life through the wisdom of God. Well, this weekend, we are bringing our study to a close. Now, we're not ending the journey of pursuing wisdom personally, but corporately as a church family, we're bringing this study to a close that we've been on since the beginning of September through the book of Proverbs. And what I want to do today is I want to leave you with five closing truths about wisdom. And I hope these will serve as a bookend for us as we bring this series to a close. It'll serve as a bookend, but also as a springboard towards the future as we continue personally this pursuit of growing in wisdom. Now, these five truths that I'm going to give you this morning, with each one of them, I'm going to give you a practical application, a handle that hopefully you can take home and just put it down in your life. But secondly, these five truths are not going to come out of one text in the book of Proverbs. We're going to kind of step back and take an overview as we close this book and pull these truths out of Proverbs. So here's truth number one. Wisdom is essential to enjoying all that life has to offer. Wisdom is essential to enjoying all that life has to offer. Over and over again in the book of Proverbs, the writer makes the connection between wisdom and life. I mean, in almost every chapter, it seems that this connection, this line is drawn, showing the relationship between walking in wisdom and enjoying life. Let me give you an example from Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified. Wisdom takes on personality, and wisdom speaks in Proverbs chapter 8. Look what wisdom says in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33. Heed instruction and be what? Wise. And do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Do you hear wisdom? Wisdom says, blessed is the person who listens to what I have to say, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. Now look at the next phrase. For he who finds me finds what? Life. You hear the connection? Wisdom says, he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. There is a direct relationship between walking in wisdom and enjoying all that life has to offer. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you want to enjoy life? Let me see your hand. That's what I thought. I think everybody raised their hand. I mean, we all want to enjoy life. Nobody says, you know what, I want my life to really be a bummer. I'd just like to have a terrible life. That's what I'd love to have for Christmas. Just a rotten, awful, sorry, unenjoyable, miserable life. Nobody would say that. We all want to enjoy life. Well, wisdom teaches us that the only way to enjoy life is by possessing wisdom. The reality is that God created life. If you believe that, say amen. God created life. Let me tell you what that means. God knows best how to experience all that life has to offer. He made it. He designed it. Living was not our idea. Living was God's idea. God created it. God spoke it into existence. So God knows best how to enjoy life. And it is only when we begin to see life from His perspective that we are really able to enjoy life. That's why God gave us His Word. And man, sometimes we, as Christians, we have such a wrong perspective towards the Bible. When God says, don't do that, God's not robbing us of joy and pleasure. I think sometimes we think that God just exists to rob us of all the fun in life. And God says, don't do all these things that are enjoyable. And in the moment, in the immediate, they may seem pleasurable and they may seem joyful. But God sees life in a totally different way. He sees the consequences of our decisions. He sees the end result, the other end of the path when you start down that journey. And when God says, don't do something, God's saying, don't hurt yourself. When God says do something, the reverse is true. God is saying help yourself. And it's only when we begin to walk wisely and see life from God's perspective that we're able to enjoy all that life has to offer. in one of the messages that Pastor Mike preached. I watched it online, and the message that he preached about purity, he began that message by talking about two paths. That every day, you and I, our lives are filled with decisions. And the reality is, God does know best how life is to be lived, but He will not force His design into your life. He gives you choices. Every day, we have decisions that we have to make. And it's like two paths that are laid before us. And all we can see is the opening of those paths. But the reality is, God sees all the way down the path. God sees the end of the path. And God knows best. And it's imperative, if we're going to experience all that life has to offer, that we seek and pursue wisdom. Paul wrote about this same idea. You didn't use the word wisdom, but it was the same principle in the book of Galatians. Look at these verses. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Paul said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." The word mocked literally means to turn your nose up at. That's where that word comes from. It means to lift your nose, to turn your nose up at something. He says, don't kid yourself. Don't be deceived. Don't lie to yourself. You can't turn your nose up at God. "For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." When he says the one who sows to his flesh, he says the one that chooses his own way over God's way will reap corruption. The word corruption means rotten or ruined. But he says the one who chooses God's way, sows to the Spirit, reaps what? Eternal life. You see that connection between God's way and life? God knows best how life is to be enjoyed. Well, let me give you the practical application. Here's the truth again. Wisdom is essential to enjoying all that life has to offer. So here's the first application. I must pursue wisdom on a daily basis. I must pursue wisdom. Why have we done this series together over the last 4 months? Why did we make such a big deal about this being a threefold journey? A personal journey where you're personally, daily seeking wisdom. A family journey where you're seeking wisdom as a family. A community journey. Why did we do that? Here's why we did that. Because we believe wisdom is essential to enjoying all that life has to offer. And so as believers, as followers in Jesus, it's imperative that we establish disciplines in our lives that lead us to pursue wisdom on a daily basis. My prayer has been that through this series now, each one of us is seeking the wisdom of God like we never have before. Let me give you the second truth. Wisdom doesn't come naturally. Wisdom is essential to enjoying all that life has to offer, but wisdom doesn't come naturally. Let me show it to you in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. And if you've been reading along with us monthly through the Proverbs, you've now read through Proverbs. You're in your fourth run through Proverbs. This week, for the fourth time, you should have read Proverbs 14 and this morning Proverbs 16. Proverbs 14, 12 and Proverbs 16, 25 are the exact same verse. It's the exact same verse in Hebrew and in English. It's the exact same verse. Look what it says. "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of" what? "Of death." There's a way which seems right. There's a way which seems like the right thing to do. From my perspective, it looks good. I mean, my feelings about it are good. I think it's okay. It seems right. The problem is, on my own, I will make unwise decisions. There are two realities that I've just come to grips with in my own life through this study in Proverbs. These are things that God's just laid on my heart through Proverbs, and it's really been a life-changing thing for me. And here's the two statements that I wrote down in my journal. Number one, my opinion is never enough. my opinion is never enough. And number two, my perspective is always limited. My perspective is always limited. And one of the things we talked about through this process is wisdom demands that I seek counsel, that I invite others into my life so that they can speak truth into my life. But I need God's perspective. My perspective is limited. It may seem like the right decision. It may appear to be the right thing to do. But the Bible says oftentimes I totally miss it. Why? Because wisdom doesn't come naturally. The prophet Isaiah really captured the essence of this when he wrote in Isaiah 55. Look at these verses. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, this is God speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What does God say about the way He thinks and the way we think? It's different, right? And it's not just a little bit different. He said, as high as the heavens are from the earth. I mean, you can't get any further than that. He said, so are my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, naturally left to ourselves, we're controlled and dominated by our flesh, and we think the things of this world, and we live for the satisfaction of ourselves. But when we begin to seek God and seek His wisdom, then God begins to change us and put His thoughts in us so that we begin to see life from God's perspective, and it radically changes the way we live our lives. But wisdom doesn't come naturally. So for that reason, let me give you the practical application. I must recognize my need for God. I must recognize my need for God. You could really summarize that application with one word. It's the word humility. Humility says, God, I need You. God, I need You. And when we realize that wisdom is essential to enjoying all that life has to offer, and that left to myself, I'm not wise, I need God. And I need to pursue God's wisdom on a daily basis. Now that leads to the third truth. Here's the third truth. Wisdom begins in time spent with God. Wisdom begins in time spent with God. Let's retrace where we've come from. Wisdom is essential to enjoying all that life has to offer. Wisdom doesn't come naturally. It's God's wisdom. So then the next step is wisdom begins in time spent with God. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. Proverbs says, for the Lord gives wisdom. Read the next part out loud with me. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. The Bible says it comes from His mouth. The picture is as we daily spend time with the Father, as we sit at His feet and pursue wisdom and seek intimacy with Him, God gives us wisdom. I saw this week just reading through the Bible in another place in the book of Romans. If you have your Bible, turn over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, Paul is writing, and at the end of chapter 11, Paul just bursts out almost. You can just hear it in what he writes. There's just this explosion in his heart over the wisdom of God. Look at verse 33 of Romans chapter 11. Paul's writing and he says, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. I don't know what Paul had just gone through. I don't know what had just happened in his life. But man, he just come into one of those situations where he came to the stark reality of the wisdom of God, that God knows best. He just burst with, the depth of the riches, of the wisdom, the knowledge of God. Look what he goes on to say. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable are His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor, or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Now you know what I'd never noticed before? I'd never noticed the transition from verses 33 to 36 of chapter 11 into chapter 12. If you'd asked me to quote Romans 12, 1 and 2, I could have done it, but I'd never noticed the connection. Romans 12, 1 begins with this word, therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, what have we said? When you see the word therefore, you have to look and see what it's therefore, right? Because the word therefore is a transition word. It's a Greek word that basically means this. Based on what I've just said, based on what I've just explained, now I want to draw this conclusion. What had Paul just said? Paul had just had this explosion. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Then he says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. That phrase, present your bodies, literally is in the present active tense. And here's what that means. It could be translated, I urge you to continuously, day after day, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do you hear what he's saying? Man, God is all wisdom. God is all knowledge. God is the creator of life. There's nobody that can teach God anything. God knows everything about life. Paul says, therefore, I'm begging you to daily surrender yourselves and lay on the altar before God and seek His wisdom, so that what comes out of your life will be the will of God. And this is what he says about it. It's good. It's acceptable. It's perfect. Man, those are three adjectives I'd love to tack onto my life. How's your life? It's good. It's acceptable. That phrase means well-pleasing. It's perfect. Wouldn't you like that to be your adjectives? I mean, that's pretty good. I want to enjoy life. That's what he says right here. Where does it come from? It comes out of living in dependence on God for His wisdom. Here's the picture. Every morning we have the opportunity to sit before this God who spoke life into existence, who created it, who designed it, who knows best how it's to be lived, who gives you all of the insight that is needed to enjoy life to the fullest. And we have the privilege on a daily basis through Jesus Christ to spend time But this God, this morning I was reading in my, I have a book that I read regularly. I read it at least annually. It's called Because We Love Him. It was written by the man that personally discipled me. His name is Clyde Cranford. And Clyde discipled me for a year and a half. And just a few months after we finished our meetings together, about 6-8 months after we finished our meetings together, Clyde was a young man in his mid-40s, and he suddenly died. Just died one day sitting in his home, had his Bible. They found him with his Bible open in his lap, sitting in his chair. And he just went home to be with the Lord, sitting just like that. And I was reading in that book this morning. I was talking to Pastor Jay this morning before the service. And here's what I said. I said, man, I was reading something Clyde had written. And I said, you know how I just so wish Clyde was still alive. I'd love to be able to pick up the phone and say, help me. And then here's what thought hit my mind. Man, the one who taught Clyde everything he knows. Every day invites me into his presence. Every day invites me to sit at his feet and listen to his wisdom. Wisdom begins spending time with God. So here's the application. I must establish daily time with the Father. One of the things that happens as a pastor is people call and they'll say, I want to make an appointment to come in and sit down. I got an issue in my life. I've got this problem in my marriage or with my kids or at the job, with my finances. And they want to come in and sit down and get some insight. And that's part of what, as a pastor, that's part of the responsibilities that we have, is to try to meet with people. But let me tell you the first question I always ask. People sit down and they take a few minutes and they share where they are, what's going on, what's not working, what's broken. First question is always this. Tell me about your time that you spend with God on a daily basis. Well, that hadn't been going so good. Listen, there's no substitute. There's no shortcut in the life of a believer for time spent daily with the Father. No shortcut. No substitute. Wisdom is essential to enjoying all that life has to offer. Wisdom doesn't come naturally. Wisdom begins in time spent with God. If I don't spend time with God on a daily basis, guess what? I will mess it up. I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to make unwise decisions. I'm going to break things. It's not going to go right. It's not going to be good and acceptable and perfect. But I have the opportunity on a daily basis to spend time with the all-wise, all-knowing, infinite God who can speak truth into my life and then lead me in a life that's good and acceptable and perfect. Let me give you truth number four. We got to finish. Wisdom is a journey, not a destination. Wisdom is a journey, not a destination. In Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon writes these words. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the naive. The word naive there refers to someone who is inexperienced concerning the complexities and challenges of life. Solomon says wisdom is for those who are inexperienced. But then he says, to the youth knowledge and discretion. He says wisdom is also for those that are young by age. That's what the word youth means. He's talking about naive, who are young by experience, or youth, who are young by age. But then look what he says. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. The word wise means one who is skilled or experienced. You know what he's saying here? It doesn't matter where you are on this journey called following Jesus, we all need to grow in wisdom. Let me illustrate it. Over the last few months, we've explored issues like anger, decision making, pride, purity, the tongue. How many of you have those mastered? Everybody's afraid to raise their hand because we know what Proverbs says. Pride goes before destruction. Wait a minute, we did a whole 30-minute sermon on it. You don't have it mastered yet? You know what we learn about wisdom? It's a journey, not a destination. When I first became a Christian almost 20 years ago, someone taught me this principle of reading the proverb every day that corresponds to the day of the month. They taught me there are 31 Proverbs. So every month you can read almost through the entire book of Proverbs, reading a chapter a day. And I've done that for 20 years. Not every day, but consistently for 20 years. Have read the proverb that corresponds to the day of the month as a part of my daily devotional time. And guess what I've come to understand? I'm still learning as much today as I've ever learned. I'm wiser for the journey, but I'm still growing in wisdom. Here's the application. I must realize that I never arrive. I must realize that I never arrive. Listen, if you think you've arrived in some area, the enemy's got you right where he wants you. I must realize I never arrive. You know what you realize? The more you grow in wisdom, the more you realize how wise God is. Paul said, oh, the depth. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of God. We said humility earlier. Put that word humility on the screen. I gave you this little diagram, but I wanted to give it to you again this weekend. Humility says, God, I need you. Humility leads to teachability. When I'm humble, I'm willing to listen and to learn. Teachability leads to wisdom. Wisdom leads to humility. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know what this little diagram is? It's the growth pattern of growing in wisdom. Humility that leads to teachability that produces wisdom. And this little diagram is right out of the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see it? Where there's humility, there's teachability. But when you teach a wise man, guess what happens? He'll be wiser. He grows in wisdom. But the greater we grow in wisdom, the fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom, a deep sense of humility and our need for God. Wisdom's a journey. Yeah, we're bringing a study to a close, but my prayer is that you've embarked on a journey for the rest of your life, pursuing God's wisdom on a daily basis. Here's the fifth and final truth. I love this one. God's desire to give you wisdom is greater than your desire to pursue it. That's awesome. God's desire to give you wisdom is greater than your desire to pursue it. I think sometimes we have this idea that God is out hiding behind a rock somewhere. And God's wisdom and God's will is kind of like a big game of hide and seek. We got to find Him. No. His desire to give you wisdom is greater than your desire to pursue it. Look again at Proverbs 2 and verse 6. Proverbs 2 and verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." Look at the next phrase. "He stores up sound wisdom." That phrase "stores up" literally means to save something for someone. Here's the picture. God has His wisdom stored up in this big treasure chest. And He's saving it for you. And every day, this God that created the world, this God that spoke life, that knows how to get the most out of life, this God that loves you, this God sits and He waits for you to come into His presence so that He can just dispense His wisdom into your life. God's desire to give you wisdom is greater than your desire to pursue it. Here's the application. I must trust that God will give me wisdom for every area of life, at every stage of life. I must trust Him. Must trust that God will give me that wisdom in every area of life, at every stage of life. I want to close with one last verse. James in the New Testament, he understood this wisdom thing. Look what James says in James chapter 1 and verse 5. "But if any of you lacks wisdom," I think we all qualify there, amen? "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all," what? "Generously." Man, He's saving it up, but He's not rationing it out. When we come sit in His presence, He wants to just take the chest and turn it upside down. Generously. And I love the next phrase, "and without reproach." That means without criticism. It means when you go to God and say, "God, I need some help here. I need some wisdom." God's not going to say, "Man, you've been in this thing for a long time. You ought to know this by now." No. He says, "If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask about it. He gives to all with a spirit of generosity and with a spirit of gentleness. And it will be given to him." And that's what the book of Proverbs teaches us about everlasting wisdom for everyday life.